Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to your weekly serving of the weird. I'm your host with the What's Your Weird Story podcast. My name is Barry Johnston, and with me is co-host, my best buddy, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
Hello, Barry. I am doing finer than a frog's hair split four ways.
Wow. That was good. That was good, man. That was good.
That's good. That's good. That's that seems real folksy.
I think I think all the frogs are they're starting to hide away for the winter. They can smell it coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
we had quite a outbreak of frogs. Now that you mentioned it, yeah. We got so much rain in the springtime. We just had a boatload of frogs. So I feel
you. That's good, man.
I feel you.
That's good. Frogs are, you know, in general, frogs are disappearing in mass. So it's good that we had a whole bunch of them, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good.
More species on this planet. So.
Yeah. It was great. Yes. Yes. Yeah, man. So, yep. It's that time of year. Fall is upon us and we are enjoying the cooler weather. And yeah. Things are really good. Everybody's back in school. Everybody's doing their activities. We're crazy busy. So nothing new, really.
Nothing new except for the crispness in the air.
That's right. And
that lovely chill, man. It's sweater weather. It's hoodie weather. I am stoked.
Yes.
Like you are, man. And just couldn't embrace this time of year more. So. Yeah.
And we've got a good story to kind of ring in the fall season also. Our guest today, is his name is Coda, and he's got some cool stories. Cool stories. We're happy to have him on.
Yes. So joining us from the mysterious borderlands between West Virginia and was it Kentucky or Tennessee? Now I sound like an idiot.
It's Kentucky. Kentucky, I believe. Yeah.
Joining us in that mysterious land, it is Coda. And like Barry said, he's got some really cool stories. And we also we had a great conversation with Coda. You know, after he had his stories, we ended up just having this long, nice little conversation just about all sorts of manner of things.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. You could tell that he was happy to talk to people that didn't think he was crazy. And to dig into some subjects that he's very into. And definitely. And so are we. And so it kind of fit. You know, it was good. It was really nice. We covered a lot of topics.
Yeah, we sure did. So, Coda, thank you for joining us. What's your weird story?
Okay. So about 7 or 8 years ago, a friend of mine, I was trying to see if he was free today, but he ended up not being. But a friend of mine and I were driving. I mean, there's not a lot to do. There's a whole lot of night driving.
You know all about that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up in a small country town, we know plenty about that. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that or cow tip. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We were driving kind of late. I'd say it was like 3:34. Mm-hmm. And we were driving down this. Before Highway 23 was built, it was the only way to get to Ashland from this little tiny town we're at. And there's a lot of pasture land, a lot of rolling kind of hills, a lot of rocky kind of tiny hills, and then the pastures. And we come around this curve, and there appears to be like a group of cows laying there. We pull up on what looks to be these cows, and I mean, we can't really get it, it's still pasture land, so it's still off a ways, like maybe 50, 60 yards. And as we're swinging by this little place where these cows are bedding down, toward the back of the pack of them, one of them gets up on 2 feet and sprints up the hill. And when I say sprint, I mean puts one foot in front of the other like an Olympian runner and books it up that hill. Whoa. I mean, just, yeah. And like,
whoa.
I say cow because laying down, this thing was cow sized. I mean, it was big.
Did you just see their silhouette or how were you seeing them from the road? Was it were they in the middle of the road, your light shining on them?
It wasn't in the middle of the road, it was off to the side, and it seemed like, okay, the weird thing is the cows weren't spooked.
Right.
They didn't pay this thing any mind whatsoever. But when we pulled by, like when we pulled like lateral to this, you know, this gathering of beef, the thing just stands up and it turns and books it. And I saw it fully when it turned. I saw green eyes in the headlights and a lot of brown. And guys, this thing would have had to have been like pushing 10 feet. I mean, this thing was huge.
If it's the size of a cow and it's walking on hind legs, running, sprinting, it would have to be. It would have huge. To be. Did it have like a cow shaped head? Or were you able to discern it?
I kind of saw it from like backside kind of angle. There may have been the point of an ear, but. You know, very, very animalistic. Very. I don't want to jump right out and say squatch because
right.
That's not even really a big Kentucky thing. Like, I don't know if anyone's called in anything from that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep. Wow,
it was big old huge something, and it took off fast.
Your friend saw it too. I mean, you both saw it at the same time. Wow.
Yeah, so the same thing. And he's like, dude, what the hell was that? And I'm like,
wow.
Man.
I was just, I was sort of trying to take it in here and figure out what we're, wow.
Yeah.
If it's not, because it's like, if it's not Sasquatch, but it's that big, man. It's like, I don't know what else it could be, you know? I mean, well,
there's stories of dog men.
Mm-hmm.
But, imagine if it was a dog man, it would not be welcome amongst cattle, you know, because those are typically like predator type things.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that it would spook something.
Yeah. And I've not heard of a, you know, in all my life, I've never heard of a cow running on two legs. So,
there's fast food and then.
Yeah. Exactly, there's fast food, but there's not like that. But that's also, though, a cow's hind legs aren't like the type that would be running that you would see sprinting like and moving in a type a run, like, you know, in that kind of motion. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's funny you mentioned dogmen, because that second story I had to tell that has relation to this mentions. So me and that same guy that saw this thing, fast forward like maybe 8 or 9 years, because this was just last year.
Oh, wow.
We were hanging out somewhere with some other people, and they actually live around.
Hold on a second. I am hearing an echo. Sorry. I keep hearing like, Bear, do you hear anything like that?
Uh-uh.
You don't hear a third person or a fourth
Mm-mm.
person?
Mm-mm.
I'm hearing like whoa, something weird.
Could be some slight lobby music.
No, it's like somebody trying to say something. It's weird. I don't know.
That I heard. That's weird. What the hell is that?
Does everybody have their phone almost turned off?
That's what it said. It almost sounded like vibrate, like a phone on vibrate.
Are you? You're on your phone, right,
Coda? Sir.
Is it on vibrate?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's. If you don't mind, Turn that off because that was freaking the shit out of me, man.
Okay.
Yeah, that was weird. Just a second. I didn't know what you're hearing at first, but I heard it.
Because it sounds like boom, boom. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on, man?
We have a ghost infiltrating our podcast.
Well, you know, here's the thing. It's like, you often hear people talking about this. Once you go start talking about and looking into like weird things start happening, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, so it's kind of like that. It's like, okay, whoo. All right. Let's back it up. 'Cause I freaked out there. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was some kind of weird cutting in somebody jumping in the conversation, but, I guess it was that. Okay. All right. So let's back it up to start over from the second part with where you and your buddy saw the second sight.
Well, the second thing, it was somebody else who lived out there who this was recently. This was like a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
Or close to that. We were hanging out somewhere, and these people who live out there where we saw that thing show up. And they start talking about a few months ago, but they said just a little ways prior to when we met up with them and talked about this, they ran into three tall figures like that, but they had dog heads and they were eating roadkill.
Ooh.
And whoa. They ran off when they pulled up.
That is. All right. So the people that you knew that lived out there, they come in and they tell you that they've seen three of these big animals.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't even mention it. Like, they start talking about this on their own, and I'm like, huh, well, I'll be damned. Let me tell you.
Wow.
That's wild, dude.
That is. Well,
I've heard stories of dogmen, and that's what they're described as, basically. You know, large humanoid figures with dog heads, basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, they act bizarre, and they're scavengers like that, and that makes a lot of sense. And you hear about it a lot in your area and then the kind of northeast midwest area. There's a lot in the Kentucky dogmen and stuff like that. I've heard those before, but also, and more freaky, more scary, is our skinwalkers. which are more, now that's more out west, you know, but you never know. I mean, it could be somebody that picked up that, figured out how to do that, or that tradition, or whatever, and they're
like legendarily speaking, it can run as so fast as feet catch fire, or is that a Wendigo?
Well, probably both, man. I mean, they're both fast type things. Wendigos, I mean, they're humans that have been spiritually modified, I guess what we would call, you know? I mean, now Wendigos are cursed with cannibalism, and that's how they become, you know, so they wouldn't eat. I would think that instead of trying to eat roadkill, they would try to eat, you know, people. They would be more aggressive.
And we'd have people missing, and that would be kind of hard to ignore.
Right, right. Well, you say that, but people go missing all the time. Yeah, you know? But
there is a state park just like seriously 10 minutes from there. And that's a big thing. People go miss the state parks.
Are these people the first folks that you've heard talk about this? Like
I heard one other story. Okay. That this was somebody who lives on the edge of the state park. Mm-hmm. He told me that his stepdad's kind of fit the hill folk criteria, you know,
right.
On a ridge, mm-hmm. sits, picks banjo all day.
right.
His stepdad tells tale that something tall enough to see eye level into the back end of a trailer. You know how some trailers, the single wides have the high.
Yeah.
Something tall enough to stand up back there and hoot like a monkey went back there and knocked on his window. And he said that he looked out there and it's big and furry and scared the crap out of him.
Wow.
Man, I wonder if it's the same thing or if what you saw and what he saw, that sounds more, you know, Bigfoot-like. That sounds definitely sounds more Sasquatch-like, sounds more, you know, ape-like, you know, especially with hooping and hollering rather than howling. But
they hoot knock and stuff, don't they? Like,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They bang on all of us.
Yeah, right. We really needed our resident Bigfoot expert here with us tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
To talk to you, man. Gosh, it's just, he had to babysit, so he's can't be here. But dude, man, that's wild, and that's, you know, you're in prime area for that stuff. You know, I mean, like out in the close to state park or big, you know, areas with lots of trees and not a lot of people. Right.
Yeah. I mean, like over on the West Virginia side, the town of Fort Gay, where I grew up, has 800 people.
Right.
And then Louisa has like 1,500, 2,000, something like that. Not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. This is not a metropolitan area. I mean.
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead, Bear.
No, I was just. You know, there in where we come from, there were never Sasquatch sightings. There are toward the southeastern part of the state, but never in our area. But then we had a friend that came on that had a pretty compelling story where we lived, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. the first I've ever heard of that. And so the idea that being experienced somewhere around by you where there's not a lot of those sightings, that doesn't necessarily mean that it can't happen. But it's really the other dogman situation or whatever the other things that you're seeing is really, that's interesting. It'd be interesting to see, you know, how widespread that is in that area that people have seen. I wish there were a way where you could, people could log their experiences. Yeah. You could go check it, you know?
Well, I've been very, very reticent to use the Squatch word.
Right.
Because like around here, like the closest you'll have of anyone talking about a Squatch sighting is usually like Tennessee or something. Mm-hmm. Like usually it's more Florida toward Florida and the Carolinas and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Usually people don't see them around here.
Also, I was going to ask you that too. Is this something that you'd ever given any thought to before you had the experience? Like, were you a cryptid believer before you ever saw this thing?
Oh yeah. There's okay. things. Yeah, and also there's things that I think that science just hasn't caught up to as well. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
up in the West Virginia Panhandle, there's this place called Monongahela Fields, and the flora hasn't changed for like 400 million years or something like that.
Oh, wow.
It's just like a swath of like, you know, Jurassic Park fern stuff. And wow. It's,
dang.
That's really cool. That I had no cool. idea.
Yeah, really.
That bears an investigation just to look in to find out more about it, just out of curiosity. Saying.
Yeah. Wow.
Two questions I got, I guess. First, is there... in your area, were there any kind of like no Native American, settlements or anything like that historically?
They left a bunch of mounds.
Okay.
They didn't really settle here. They kind of came here to bury their dead and hunt for a season.
Okay.
Wow. Interesting. Well, that is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Burying their dead is a pretty big deal. I had a friend who used to live out.
That's kind of a head scratcher. I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, because the burial sites are very, there's a lot of superstition and folklore sort of surrounding that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All kinds of ghost stories come from there.
Yeah. Wow. That starting to make some sense.
Yeah. To me, definitely some possibilities and some connections to stuff, especially when, you know, you hear about the dogman and stuff. Now, I mean... If it, you know, for lack of a better word, what those people saw, that seems more like that. Even though, like I said, that tradition for sure is definitely a more of a Western, Southwestern, you know, tradition as far as, but, you know, that doesn't mean it's excluded. I mean, we know that there are different parallel beliefs and traditions and stuff that go out throughout the world, not alone just within, you know, regional areas.
Is Mothman a Native American thing, or where did that originate?
Sort of. There's a tie-in. There's a tie-in because
How far are you from Point Pleasant?
I've been through Point Pleasant.
Yeah,
I've been through Point Pleasant. It's not that far. It's maybe 2.5 hours from where I grew up down in Wayne County.
Yeah, for our listeners who may not be familiar with Point Pleasant, that's the home of Mothman. That's where Mothman was first seen, but first recorded at least.
There's a tie-in because there was a Native American chieftain by the name of Chief Corntalk. And from what I remember from West Virginia history, the settlers kind of killed him pretty brutally. And before he did, he supposedly called down a curse. And a lot of people alluded that to the Mothman sightings in the 70s and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they when they were settling that land, when the white Europeans were coming in and settling the land, taking it over, they killed all the, you know, they just killed all the Native Americans and came in and took the land, and their chief, like, historically made this curse, and that definitely has been linked a lot to Mothman.
Wow, that's crazy. That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, and that's
when he first was talking about that. I mean, not that it would have been Mothman, but just that idea of there being something unexplained and in that kind of a vein.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Cause typically people don't think about Mothman going back that far, even though there had been some reports before the famous ones started happening during the, I think it was like the, when did that, was it 50s or I know it's in the 60s for sure that the Mothman stuff was happening for sure. But that's going to lead to my follow-up question if he knows about any kind of UFO activity in the area.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. So, do you know if there's been any kind of like UFO activity around that area?
I wish my buddy, the guy who, also saw it, was with me, because he's crazy about UFOs. He documents this stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like he goes out to these hollers and stuff and finds these ridgetops and just sits out there and makes observations and stuff. He's really into it. I haven't seen any.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I haven't seen anything too weird. You know, I've seen some like weird falling star phenomenon and stuff like that, but I haven't seen any UFOs out here.
That's cool, man. I just, you know, with Mothman especially, there was a lot of weird kind of UFO activity that went along in there. And then a lot of times you will hear people talk about how with Bigfoot, that there's also in the area UFO activity. You know, that's, and there are a lot of people that think Bigfoot may be an alien or has or extra dimensional creature or something like that. I personally believe that it's just another kind of hominid that's, you know, in nature that is, you know, a real thing. I don't necessarily think it's beyond that, but I could be wrong.
Well, there's a little less gray area for the metaphysical when it comes to Bigfoot too. Right. Like it could very easily just be some kind of weird missing link type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or even just a offshoot that's, you know, stuck around that is at least smart enough to know not to mess with the its less hairy cousins, you know.
Because it seems like with Skinwalker and Wendigo and stuff, there's always some kind of ritualistic aspect to it. There's always some kind of this was made rather than this bred.
Exactly.
And the weird thing that struck me about like this particular thing that like I saw in these stories that I'm hearing relating to that is I've been on the fence there. I've been on the fence. I've wondered, is this some kind of, were these made or did they breed?
Right.
That's kind of the scary question.
Well, yeah, definitely the unknown fact of it all is definitely very, very bizarre, you know, and that's the unsettling fact because, you know, you saw something that you were thinking, well, maybe it's a Bigfoot, and there's something more, I guess to me at least, there's something more comfortable about a Bigfoot kind of creature than there is about a dog man, you know, because that's scary as hell to me, you know, a giant body with a dog head. And because I mean, big dogs are scary, even little dogs can be scary sometimes when they're yipping and trying to attack you, man. But a big dog is really scary, you know. But like, just I couldn't imagine like a superhuman, basically, you know, werewolf, for lack of a better term. I mean, you know, not exactly a werewolf.
And like, just the whole concept of lycanthropy.
Yes.
That's a whole can of worms in itself. I mean.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Great stuff, man. Great stories.
Yeah, dude. So that's, man, it's creepy, dude. And if you heard those are pretty much the only, episodes that you've heard of anything locally. Is there any kind of other local?
We've got a few urban legends, you know. Don't go around this hill because there's an Indian mound. Don't go around this place because here's an interesting story that has a likelihood of being true. Down there on the border between Louisa and Fort Gay, there's this abandoned set of locks, and local tale says that because there's a train car, the train track that runs on the West Virginia side.
Mm-hmm.
They say a grain trailer was lost down there, and that it took them all winter to pinpoint where it was down there at the locks.
Mm-hmm.
But when they sent divers down to check and see the damages and stuff, they said that the catfish all winter had been gorging on that grain, and there was a catfish the size of a Volkswagen.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. I know they never stop growing.
That's true, man. If they got room to grow, they will. They got food. Yeah, man.
They can get huge.
Yeah. We heard growing up down in there in Lake Texoma and Texarkana both that they're supposed to be just massive, massive catfish that are like, you know, the size of cars. You know, and they're always, you know, you got it, and you can hear, everybody always says, you can hear them like thrumming underwater, you know, of course that you're just hearing the boats or whatever around you.
Yeah, I mean, in my dad's time, they'd reach up under the bank for them.
Yeah, dude, noodling.
That's that's big here. A lot of noodling going on. No, I had some friends that are really into that. You can have that. I'm not sticking my hand into a hole. I don't know what is in there. It's
say no to a plate of catfish, but
Of course,
I'll take the catfish.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
I had a buddy.
I'll keep all my fingers. Thank you.
I had a buddy sent me a video of him getting one, and I'm not kidding you, man. Like when he grabbed onto that thing, the entire surface of the water just exploded. I mean, I think the thing ended up being like 85 pounds or something.
Jeez.
Humongous.
catfish are kind of interesting. They haven't changed a whole lot biologically.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they're. I believe they've found some catfish type fossils that are really, really old. And
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they definitely catfish and that kind of line of fish are definitely prehistoric. And they've, like you said, they've not changed a whole terribly lot through time because they don't really need to evolve to change because they're there at, you know, the bottom, and that's they survive, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, that's the only thing that they would need to adapt to would be maybe like salinity of water or temperature. But I mean, you know,
yeah,
a lot of them can basically hibernate. They can freeze and just, you know, not die.
Yeah, they've got the antifreeze thing going on, don't they?
Yeah, like, yeah. Some of them do. Yeah,
it's crazy. Look at sturgeon. I mean, those things are prehistoric.
Yeah.
And of course,
yeah.
Of course,
we got a lot of gar too.
Right? Yeah. Gar. Scary. Yep. Yeah.
Scary.
We've had that conversation a few times on this podcast. Yeah. That's crazy.
Gar spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we love We love local legends too, man. Those are always fun. So,
yeah.
If you got any, more of those, man, we'd love to hear those.
Well, there's a bridge that's nearby that leads from because it's weird. There's the Louisa Forgay Bridge, and it's one of the only bridges in the world that have a turn in the middle because there's a point section, and people think you're screwing with them because you'll be like, yeah, you want to go to the middle of the bridge and take a right, and they're like, what?
Wow. Wait.
Wow.
So I'm trying to process this. So it's got, you said it's got a turn. So it's like at a T?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, okay. Wow, that's still very bizarre.
Strange, yeah, that's strange. Yeah.
But that point section that the T end of it comes out mm-hmm. up, comes out to another bridge, and I guess local legend says they used to hang people there because there's a tunnel nearby that goes under one of the roads, and it is, I've been there. I've kind of tested the whole, is it haunted? Is it not? And weird noises happen. I mean, if nothing else, there's weird noises and some thumping going on. Like, I,
wow, dude. Damn. That's pretty cool. You're braver than me, man.
Bridges are kind of creepy.
I can't stress enough how boring it is around here. But,
we had the same problem, man.
Yeah. We grew up in a small town too. It was 800. We maybe around 3,000, you know. It was and we were the big city in the county. You know, so people, small towns would come to our home, our town, to, you know, drag Maine and go to the one screen movie theater and
right.
You know, to the Sonic and all of that stuff. But
yeah,
you get bored of just being in the town all the time. So, you know, we definitely did a lot of driving around the country late at night just because there is nothing to do. I did that in college some, man.
Yeah.
But that's whenever I saw one of my first UFOs. So it's, you know, I don't know, but that's still, yeah, I still, even all things considered, I still wouldn't go. I don't mess with ghosts, man. I'm not sure where I lie with them, but I'm not gonna go poking at him either.
I get you.
Yeah, just let it
but like I said, other than that, there's just like a bunch of mound stories, you know. A bunch of people, they'd find a mound, they'd disturb something, weird stuff would happen, and they'd run like hell. And that's pretty much the formula. There's millions of those stories. I mean,
wow.
How big are the mounds? And what do you know about the mounds themselves?
I know that, there's a really big marathon oil plant between Louisa and Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
And there's supposedly a really big snake effigy that's kind of roped off from the public there because it's on the property of that refinery. Nobody wants to mess with it. Mm-hmm. But supposedly there's a pretty big snake effigy there. And then when you get toward the outlying area, like toward where I live, the mounds are usually But to give you an idea, in Fort Gay, my hometown, the football field used to have an actual mound there, and it was just part of the hill. And okay. they wouldn't really let you mess with it much, so a lot of people did there. But yeah, and supposedly weird stuff would happen on that field because of that. Like, you go there late at night, see apparitions and flickerings and what have you.
That's crazy. Cool,
man.
That's crazy.
That's pretty cool. I went a couple summers ago. I'm in Cincinnati, so I'm not that far from the Snake Mound, which, you know, the Serpent Mound, which is the World Heritage Site. That thing. And it's huge, and it doesn't really look like much, you know, from the ground. But I forced myself to climb up to the observation deck, and this thing, man, I wish it would have been a little bit more secure, or at least encased, because it was basically like outside a skeleton of ladders and floors. So I don't do well with that. I get a little bit shakes in my knees, and I get a little bit scared of, you know, falling, a little bit of vertigo. So I forced myself up to this, you know, probably just 30 feet in the air, not that high, but still pretty tall. And looking out and just white knuckling on the rail, but still just being amazed by the Serpent Mound itself, just the construction. Cause it's,
how big is,
you know,
it?
Like, dude, it is, I mean, I would, I want to say
football field, or
I want to say it's, you know, probably in the area of a football field. Wow. For sure.
There's a good hike to get up it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And like, they got, and there's, of course, there's other burial mounds around it, but the Serpent Mound itself, is really fantastic. And of course it's oriented where, on the, I want to say, I'm not sure if it's the spring equinox or the autumn equinox, but it's oriented where at this, when that happens on that certain, that day, there's some kind of like alignment that goes on, and wow. it's really cool, and it's beyond me. And I went on a Saturday where nobody else was there, so I didn't, you know, I couldn't talk to anybody to get more information. I should have researched it a little bit more, so at least I know what I'm talking about.
That's crazy. So
you guys ever wonder, like, if this just like jumped into their heads when they were building it? Because like the Nazca lines and stuff, mm-hmm. like, how could they have known? How could they have gotten up that far to know what they were doing?
Right.
Yeah. Like, as far as the whole domino pattern
exactly.
and all that. Like,
yeah. It's crazy.
Because like, a lot of these animal effigy mounds, like, they look spot on, like critters.
Right.
I mean, they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You gotta
be
high up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not incredible. Always vantage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, not, yeah, at the areas that those are at, they're not. You don't have the high peaks to be able to look down on them.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and there's like some places where it's like, maybe you got a hill where you can kind of see it, but you don't get that, the actual true advantage of seeing it from up top. And that's just, yeah, man, it's weird. You know, I mean, we can say all we want that it was just ground art, but you know, what purpose was it there for to where it could be seen? I mean, I suppose if you really want to break it down, and just say, you know, to the simplest form, it's like, well, they did it so that, you know, whoever they believed in, their gods, their sky spirits or whatever, could see it. And that was the only purpose for it. And it wasn't necessarily intended for other people to see. But still, you know, that is even a very, I mean, that's very abstract.
They would have to, regardless, they have to have the technology to do that. And that in itself is an amazing thing. How would they be able to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, of course, it would take a people that were, you know, joined in an idea to become very good at something.
Yeah.
And
drawing it out on that scale.
Right.
And the way they would have to do it.
The outside.
What's that?
Or influence from the outside. I mean.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, obviously, the popularity of the ancient aliens theory is huge, you know, because right. I mean, there's with all the television series and stuff. And, you know, I'm certainly not going to completely brush off the idea mm-hmm. that that could be what it's about. But, you know, I tend to look for the more simpler answer, but still, I'm not going to, you know, like I said, I'm not going to wave it off and say like, no, it, you know, but I can't positively say it was, you know, I can't positively say it was made for aliens or alien view from space, but,
right.
But who knows, you know, I mean, and maybe these guys had balloons, you know, maybe they had figured out a way to make balloons that they could rise up, you know, we don't know that. You know, right. We don't know all of their history. We don't know all of their technology.
Right.
That could have been something that was sacred and that right. they kept,
right.
you know, because a lot of times people will keep the sacred knowledge and the right. sacred stuff. And so they don't want anybody outside to know about this kind of stuff.
Well, right. I mean, even in like Boy Scouts and stuff, they'll teach you how to build like Ranger towers and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that it's not too
yeah.
explicit.
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Fascinating stuff. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all around the world at a certain point in time, a lot of important civilizations, they built things, and for whatever reason, however they did it, whatever it was that drove them to have to mm-hmm. express that is just, it's fascinating to me. You know, and the pyramids, of course, are one of those things that just like, how did each... Yeah. civilization figure out that that was the structure that needed to be built.
Yeah. I think
you're sorry, guys.
That's all right. Okay.
My bad.
Yeah. I heard again. I was like, I heard that cool. that vibration was like, yeah, yeah, right. Or yeah, right. It kind of sounded like that yeah. to me. And I was like,
Yeah, it's cool too. Like, how did Egyptians and Mayans both figure out that pyramids were the groovy way to go? I mean,
yeah,
crazy.
Well, it's not just them, man. There are pyramids in further down in South America. There are pyramids in
China and Asia,
Middle East, and China, and right.
I didn't know there were pyramids. That's awesome. China.
Yeah. One of the oldest ones is in Turkey, but then again, somebody else says now that one of the oldest ones is like in. Micronesia or whatever, some of those island nations that are down there in right. Asia. And I can't think of which one. I just heard another podcast talking about pyramids. Okay. But there's pyramids in Alaska, and there's one in Georgia for sure that I remember hearing about. So there are pyramids are everywhere, man. They're everywhere.
Fly on the wall to hear those experts talking about that one in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, and that's the thing. It's like people, you know, we don't know. We don't have an absolute for certain what these things are for. We have a lot of formulated ideas that these are for a purpose, you know, but, you know, and we know that amongst other things, the ones in Egypt, at least, are burial, or, you know, they're basically burial mounds. But, I mean, they're elaborate burial mounds, but then again, you know, we have these other burial mounds that are here in where you are and close to where I am in Cincinnati and in Ohio, and, you know, we've got those kinds of things, and those are old, and it's amazing that they've lasted.
What's interesting, too, is what's happening in the Amazon, because they're tearing down the trees at such a rate now. And they're uncovering what was there before, which are mm-hmm. really interesting plots. There are structures that were built, and they believe that we look at, you know, I was listening to somebody the other day talk about this. We think the United States, the North America, it's looked at as the new world, right? But really, what we're finding in South America could go back God knows how mm-hmm. long. Some of the structures that they're finding are plots of land that they made their own soil somehow. They constructed a way to burn leaves and things, and it made a concoction in the soil that made things more fertile, and they can't figure out, well, maybe they have figured it out, but how would they know how to do that? You know, and these are plots of land that are, you know, acres upon acres upon acres that they're just like, they think that the cities could have housed hundreds of thousands of people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's intense. And that's,
yeah. And dude, that's the thing with archaeology, as you well know, because I know this is that's a hobby of yours, at least, you know, that I know you're really interested into, a lot of the, you know, this kind of, what is it? It's kind of an archaeological history. I forget what the term you used for the guy that you listen to a lot.
Yeah. You get,
but,
you mix the geographic, information with the actual, what would be considered by a lot of people, fringe archaeology.
Right.
But it's really not. I mean, you know, Graham Hancock has become a pretty well known and understood for his ideas now. I think that he's had a few things come to fruition. Göbekli Tepe is one of those things. They uncovered the city. I think that's over by Turkey or somewhere.
I think you're right.
And it's older than any other civilization that they found. I think it dates back to like 11,000 some years. Mm-hmm. But it was buried on purpose for some reason. They buried the city, or they buried parts of the city. And as they go through, and of course they're trying to excavate it, it's so old that, you know, they're having issues kind of getting through it the way that I think that they would do some other things, because as they're getting through it, it's deteriorating.
Right.
But, you know, his whole theory is that civilizations, you know, they could, this cycle, we can only go back that far, 11,000 years.
Yeah.
But civilizations were built up and tore down and built up and tore down over time. And, you know, there's no telling how many tens of hundreds of thousands of years of information that we've had that have gone buried, and we have no way to get those records. If you look at, you know, like off the coast of Egypt, they uncovered all that, the statues and the stuff that was buried for a long time, and it's like, golly, man, all this really interesting stuff that gives you a little bit of a glimpse into a people. Thank God we had the Egyptians, that we could like see their architecture and see their art, and their belief system was, you know, it changed the way humanity experienced life, you know, looking at these things that they can't explain in the sky, and how does that relate to us, and, you know, how do we figure out that there's actually a sun, and we're somehow, you know, we're evolving around this thing. It's just like it's insane, and it's interesting stuff
like that, and like the Babylonians and the Anunnaki and stuff that kind of helped streamline polytheism, didn't it?
Yeah
with the well, I mean, definitely, polytheism definitely was one of the, you know, the first kind of like every kind of system of belief almost is there's some kind of like, you know, either a naturalistic kind of thing where, the, you know, the spirits were in the earth and the trees and everything.
Mm-hmm. Animalism.
Right, exactly. And then, of course, you know, and then it would develop to where they give traits and to the, you know, their characters of, you know, for lack of a better term, to the, you know, and the gods and the deities, and you know, and that would, you know, and that allowed for, you know, polytheism to really take off. Oh, and again, this is things that happened everywhere, because, you know, polytheism is over the majority of time way more predominant over any kind of all systems of beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know, there are very few that were monotheistic or, you know,
which we also have the Egyptians to think about for that.
You know,
they were the first ones to come up. Well, it was a unifying thing too. And I think that's the other deal. It's like, how do you unify a bunch of people? Well, kings at that time, they had to, you know, how do you figure out how to get a bunch of people on board? One of the ways you do that is you control the religion and the religious aspects of things, and having to the ability to say that I speak to the gods and they tell me what it is that we need to believe in, that gives you a lot of leeway for stuff. But Christianity is based off of that idea, Isis, and you know the 12 disciples of Isis, and you know, it's just, you know, I don't know,
the sun god, born
of a virgin, you know, it's like, yeah.
Egyptology has a resurrection story too.
And of course, you know, and there's the Mithras was also a contemporary religion there around the same time as Jesus, where there was a lot of similar early Christian parallels that. Mm-hmm. But it was a religion of a lot of the warriors in the army. Mm-hmm. And it was a much more, it was like basically it was like a violent version of Jesus. And he was born out of a rock, I think, of something like that. But it was a virgin and a rock and something like that. And very, very strange. Yeah. I remember one of their baptism was that they would get the initiates into a pit, and they would bring a bull over on top of this pit, and then they would just cut the bull from, you know, all the way down, and the blood would just shower down on these initiates, and that was their baptism. Their baptism was in blood, and they became part of the group and followers of Mithras. And so
welcome to the party. Wow.
Good old bullion baptism.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah, good stuff. It's interesting. It's all fascinating stuff, and that's why I don't put a lot of credence on, you know, people's ideas of whether something or not, you know, something exists or not. You know, because throughout the history of humanity, we've had these very strange ideas about what it means to live this existence, and it's could be a combination of a bunch of different stuff.
And let's not forget that history is written by the winners.
That's right.
You know, so that's a big thing because, mm-hmm. you know, it's their point of view. It's the perspective of the culture, the dominant culture.
Right.
That is, it forms everything. So, mm-hmm.
right.
You know,
yeah,
there's a lot of history that's been forgotten because it doesn't jive. So,
yeah, it's like thinking like, what if the Alexandria Library had never burned? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Or all of the books that were destroyed during, like the Dark Ages before mm-hmm. Exactly. Because they were, got to be a witch because, you know, they don't
sound awful smart to not be a witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I think we really did. That was a interesting spin out of interesting conversation generated from a possible Bigfoot, but maybe Dog Man. Who knows? That's what we enjoy. We enjoy the conversation. We enjoy hearing the stories and then where it leads us. And so I think that led down quite a few good paths. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had a blast, guys. This is awesome. Hey, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
You know, we appreciate you are I'm going to let the listeners know that you're actually at work at this moment. We're not going to tell them where, but you've been ducking out every once in a while just to make sure everything's going. But I don't think those nukes will go off on their own. No, we appreciate you being here, Coda. That was an awesome story and just a great conversation, man. Yeah, great. And let us know if anything else weird happens, man. Let us know. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, open door policy.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what? Get your buddy. Get your buddy that was with you. That's all at the UFOs.
He would love this. Yeah. He would love this. I feel so bad that he couldn't do it.
Come get him sometime. You guys come on and we'll have a good time for sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. You guys would like him.
Cool.
All right, man.
Awesome, man.
We'll let you go. Thanks a lot, dude. This has been great. I'm glad we finally made the connection. And that was good. So
yeah.
All right. Cool deal, man. Well, have a good night. And get that phone. So.
Thanks. Thanks, Coda.
Take care.
Thank you.
Hey Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun.
Well, Coda, thanks for coming by and sharing your crazy stories. I'm still, you know, I know we talked about that, you know, the Sasquatch thing, he's reluctant to talk about that and or to label it as such, but yeah, it sounds to me pretty squatchy.
It does indeed. If it's not, I don't know, I'm not sure what it would be, because it didn't sound like the dogmen that his, for lack of better terms, skinwalkers, whatever those things were, it didn't sound like those, and I think those would be right creepier, man.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure. Definitely. But driving up on something like that, there's so much going through your mind. You're trying to make out exactly what it is that you're seeing, and you're seeing a bunch of different animals and things like that. And I could imagine that you're trying to make a judgment on something that you saw for just a split second, and you're trying to replay that in your mind over and over and over again. What was it? What were you seeing? You know, and the time of day, I think, had a lot to do with it also. Being difficult to see.
Yeah, you're immediately trying to rationalize what your brain says it saw, you know?
Right.
And your brain doesn't normally tell you, oh, I saw this thing that may or may not have been a Sasquatch, or may or may not have been giant people, dog heads eating, you know, roadkill or whatever, you know? But you're driving at the same time at night. Right. So it's a whole, you know.
The fact that other people have seen weird stuff out there is that's pretty without him even prompting to get any of that information, it was given to him. And I think that speaks to his story.
Yeah. Yeah. And he did say that they were up on, you know, in close, right up there on a state park, you know, and they're also in a small town. So it's a big rural area, and it's there kind of in the, I think he said like, it was like the foothills kind of land, it seemed. So yeah, man, I mean, that's all of that entirely plausible, you know?
Yeah.
Places for those things to naturally be. So.
Right. And then we got off into some crazy, you know, some geological and some excavating and some other, you know, some talk about some mounds and things like that, which we love talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of in our wheelhouse. We really enjoy that. And it seemed as though, you know, he was very, very intrigued in that type of stuff as well.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, he definitely, he's one of ours kind, you know, he's one of us. So it was good talking to him. And hearing also I love hearing local legends, you know, especially the spooky ones and the weird ones. But yeah, hearing the local legends is always a lot of fun. So I don't know, just a great conversation. And the fact that, you know, he did take time.
Yeah.
From where, you know, he got called in, but he stuck through, and he just kind of, he ducked out a couple of times that he got, you know, called to answer some things. So
he was right on it, man. It was like he's, you know, right back in it, you know?
Yeah.
He was really game for it. And we got to get his friend who's into to UFOs. We got to get him on.
We definitely
I'd really like to get his take on the Navy stuff and whatever he's seen, you know?
Yep. For sure, man. Cool. All right. Well, Coda, you got to bump him with your elbow and say, see, I was here, and then get him on. So, thanks again, Coda, for, you know, making time for us and sharing all that and just having that great conversation, man. We loved it. You know, one of the reasons that we do this show every week is because we get an excuse to talk to each other and to talk to other people and have these great conversations about weird stuff that, you know, you don't normally get to have those every day. And that's what we live for. So we want to hear your stories. We want to talk to you. We want to have some great conversations. You're the guys who, guys and gals and everybody, you're the people, you're our folks, you're our friends, you're what this is all about. So anyway,
all that.
We want to hear it all. Give us a shout, give us a call on the hotline, give us an email, contact us. You know, there are countless ways. It's all, you can find it all there in the metadata or whatever with this show. And I'm running out of things to say, so Barry, take it over.
You think the NSA is listening to this? You think we're being? You think we might have CIA up in our shit?
Well, you know, we did have head cheese on.
That's true. I've been listening to some NSA stuff. So that's what's in my mind. But no, we need your stories, guys. So if without you, this doesn't happen. So yep. We need the interaction with you guys. So get in touch with us. We want to have you on, and yeah, let's do this. So until we speak again,
be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.